All right, take your bulletin, right? We're working on our puzzle. Get your pen, get your bulletin, marks of discipleship. We've been talking about that the last few weeks, and we got a few more weeks to go. There's seven of them. So let's go to our little puzzle. Annabelle, there we go. So G is for... Okay, we got to do a better job than that. G is for... So write that down. Write it in there. The more senses we use, the better it helps us to remember. Because when we get through with all this, we're going to have this puzzle memorized. The seven marks. G is for generosity. On the bottom, P. P is for prayer. Write that down. Those are two marks, generosity and prayer. Next mark, W is for worship. Worship. Tom Harris, he wanted to jerk my chain a little bit this week. Wave at everybody, Tom, so they know where you're sitting while I'm talking about you. There we go. He's right over there. So he texts me, because y'all were supposed to come up with the next one for the C, right? And so Tom tells me, he says in the text, he said, "Brother Mike, I'm sorry to tell you, but your puzzle is off. You don't have enough squares, man." And of course, we do have enough. And then he said a little bit later, he said, "No, it's okay. Gene told me the word and it fits. Now we can finally go to sleep." So see, this stuff is working. You're having to work on this. So C is for community, right? Community. Okay. So we want to talk about this. We're going to talk about community today, but we want to reiterate and review a little bit for you. Because worship blends in to community. So we're going to begin to think about, again, worship. And we said that worship is in two parts. It's personal. And as we spend time with God personally, that blends into corporate. But God doesn't want us just to come together so that we can just be physical bodies sitting together. That doesn't mean anything, a corporation, an entity. No, God wants this corporate worship to turn into communion. Community, I'm sorry. Community. And it's a cycle that continues. But it's going to feed, everything's going to feed off of this. So that's why it's so important that we get this right. Okay? Now, if I had a title, though, for today, it might be this. Find your chair. In my dissertation, I wrote this, page 69. John Ortberg, in The Life You've Always Wanted, said this: "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. And the first practice to cure the hurry sickness," he says, "might be called slowing." Our lives are busy. In fact, the ministry in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ was very busy. Look with me in Mark chapter 6 and see how Jesus deals with it, with this hurry, busy lifestyle that also not only is hurried and busy, but has times and moments of great pain and difficulty. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. "Immediately the king sent an executioner," this is King Herod, and commanded his head to be brought, John the Baptist, and he went and beheaded him in prison. He brought his head on a platter, and he gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. It's a terrible, morbid experience. A painful experience for Jesus and the disciples to hear about what happened to their good friend, John the Baptist, who was just trying to do God's will. And how does Jesus respond? Verse 31, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They were so busy. And so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. If we're ever going to have community, we're going to have personal worship with the Lord. Two kinds of worship, personal and corporate, which turn into community. One of the first things we've got to decide and we've got to implement and we've got to practice is called personal worship. Everybody needs to find their chair. So to reiterate last Sunday, I had to come up with an exercise whereby I was going to prove to my committee that I needed to grow in, an area I needed to grow in, and how I was going to do it, and how I was going to evaluate what I did. Well, I decided that I needed growth in my personal prayer time with God. As a pastor, I'm a very busy guy. Lots of people out there, lots of needs, lots of hurts, lots of prayer stuff. There's just lots of stuff going on all the time. Well, you're just as busy. You may not be dealing with all as many people as I deal with being a pastor, but you still have busy lives. And so what I decided was that in my life, I needed to slow it down. Now, before I get started, I wanted to draw one picture for you. Because I want you to really understand what it is that's going on here. So let me see if I can draw a cloud. That's not a bad cloud. Okay. That cloud represents heaven, where God is. And I'm in my life over here. My life is busy, busy, busy. My mind is racing all the time. So is yours. Going. You have thousands of thoughts every single day. I forgot how many they said, 7,000? I don't know. It's a bunch. Okay. And so here's my objective in my prayer exercise, in this personal aspect of worship. This is going to have an effect on my corporate worship, which is going to have an effect on communion, on community. So here's what I've got pictured in my mind. When I step into this chair, when I step into it and I sit down in it, I am recognizing that I am in the presence of God. Now, I'm always in the presence of God because God lives in me. But this is a special recognition of God's presence. This is on my part. God never leaves me. God's always with me, but I'm not always cognizant of that. Now, when we were singing that one song, what was that song about seeing Jesus? And when you were playing the piano over there. Well, that's a winner, brother. What a day. I mean, stick with that one. I mean, I was feeling some of this right here, okay? Corporately, okay? That was community. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to do this personally. I want to be in this window here, okay? I want to be in this light. I want to be in this. I want God to know that I'm in it. That I am recognizing His presence in my life. Okay, so that's the picture. So I'm coming over here, and I'm going to borrow the Puritan exercise of centering down. I'm not borrowing their theology, but I am borrowing their practice. I said in my paper that there's two things I'm trying to accomplish in this time with God. One of the things I'm trying to accomplish is I'm trying to shun something. I'm trying to avoid something. I'm trying to derail something. But I'm also trying to find something, to receive something. So, the first thing that I'm doing in my time, I found my chair this morning. And so I get in a position where I am going to be very still. I'm not going to move my head hardly at all. I'm not going to move my shoulders. I'm going to bow my head just a little. I may close my eyes, I may not. I've got my hands folded in a relaxed position. And now I'm going to slow my mind and my thoughts. I'm going to slow my thoughts. I'm not thinking about my things to do list. I'm not in a hurry going, I got to go. I got stuff. I got things. Nope, I'm staying right here. I'm going to drop my tongue from the roof of my mouth. It's going to help me relax a little bit. I can't do that while I'm talking, but y'all can do it. Try it. Just drop it from the top of your mouth. Let it lay in the bottom of your mouth. I'm going to get in a position where it's a position of reverence and submission to the authority of God. And I'm recognizing that beam of God's presence on me in this chair. And so now when I finally, and this takes practice, this just didn't happen the first day, but as I'm working this thing, okay, I'm slowing everything down, now I'm going to say something. I just want you to know, Lord, I just want you. I just want you. I just want to be with you. Now see, I hadn't been doing that. I've been praying for you and missionaries and people that have needs and my family and motor mouth. But I haven't just carved out a part of my 24-hour day where I say to the Lord, I just want you. This time is just for you. It's different. And so after voicing that little prayer, I'm just going to just be still. And where did I get this still thing from? Psalm 46:10. Can you imagine being a friend with someone and never spending any time with them? Can you imagine being a friend with someone and doing all the talking and never listening? Can you imagine being a friend with somebody, a good friend, and never being with them? Never making the time to be with them? We sang that other song, Terry. I am the friend of God. I am the friend of God. I am the friend of God. He is my friend. That's what this is about. So I'm here and I'm just doing this for a few minutes and I'm telling you, it's like, man, it's amazing. It's amazing. to be in God's presence. It changes your life. It makes you a different person. But I'm not doing it for that. I'm not doing it for the change. I'm not doing it so God can bless me or do this for me or do that for me. I'm just doing it because I just want to be with Him. But nobody could do it for me. I had to assert myself. I had to take on leadership and lead myself into this time. I had to budget my time. I had to say, I'm going to do this. And it's worth the sacrifice of being still for a few minutes and slowing my life down. So I'm enjoying that being, that presence of God. And I recognize He's right there with me, and I'm with Him. And our friendship is developing. So after I do that for a few minutes, now my time with God is going to progress a little bit. So I'm going to take this Puritan stance. So I'm going to have my hands down because I want to shun some things. Remember in Romans chapter 6, the Bible says we're dead to sin. And then in 6:11, it tells us to do something in response to being dead to sin. It says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Now, we do that once in our lives, but then we continue to reflect on that practice. So I say, Lord, I know that I'm dead to sin, and today I reckon myself dead to sin. What does that mean? Well, dead men don't respond to anything. Well, I'm not saying that I don't respond to anything, but I don't respond to sin. I don't respond to temptation. I don't respond to ungodly conduct in other people. No, I'm like a dead man. I reckon myself that way. Lord, I want you to know that I'm asking you today, I'm trusting you to put to death the works of the flesh in my life, to mute them. To not let them speak so loud, to mute their voice so that I only hear your voice. I'm trusting you to live in my place today. I'm trusting you to tame my tongue today. I want to shun those things, and I choose to turn to you. I choose to turn away from my sin, which is repentance. I'm shunning, avoiding. And now I'm ready to turn my hands up. And I don't do it so much like that, which is really the proper way to do it, because my shoulders, you guys, y'all can go all the way up. I can't do that. My shoulders are restricted from my surgery. So I'm going to get in a posture, and I'm going to kind of do this with my hands kind of cupped and open, and I'm relaxed. You know what I'm saying? So, Lord, now fill me up with your life. Fill me with your spirit. Express your life through my life. That's different than Mike expressing his life to others. No, express your life through my life to others, Lord. Use my life today. See, this is all about today. See, I did this yesterday, but I needed to do it today. I need to walk with the Lord today. So, Lord, I need you to fill my cup, fill my life. And work through me to help people, to love people like you love them. I'll need you to do that, Lord. See, I need you, Lord, to help me to not worry. Help me to trust you, Lord. See, I'm doing that back and forth. Help me, Lord. I'm trusting you to help me not to be selfish. Lord, help me to be thinking about others. See, the parallel for Psalm 46:10 in the Old Testament for this exercise is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, seek the King and His kingdom and His nature, His righteousness. Seek the person and His business and His nature of righteousness. And when should we do that in our day? so many times, like our giving, we want to write our bills out and take care of everything, and we go, okay, I got enough left over to give the Lord. He's last, or close to last. No, God says, put him first in this personal time. Now, that's all review. Is it over? Is that all we need to do? If all I've done is the chair exercise, I've only been a monastic at this point. I got to get out of this chair. But since I've been in the chair, I'm prepared to get out of the chair. Now I'm ready to get out of the chair and do what? Community. You know what that looks like? David, stand up. I have noticed something about you. You apparently own the title deed to this particular seat on the fourth pew from the front. You know how I know that? 'Cause you're here almost every Sunday, brother. I mean, I don't hardly even seeing you miss at all. Is your wife paying you to come or what? You can sit down, Dave. Thanks. I wanted to thank you, though, Dave, for your faithfulness. Because I know nobody's forcing you to come. That's community. Russell, come here. I want to thank you for something. You know what Russell does? Well, he does a lot of things. But one of the things he does on Wednesday nights is he takes the trash out after the Wednesday night supper, and then he helps clean the kitchen. And you know what? I don't remember anybody ever asking him to do it. I want to thank you, Russell, because that means something to me. Okay, you go sit down. George, several years ago, Dr. Hill, I had a very difficult time in my life. It was very painful. And you sent me a letter with a gift. And I'll always remember the encouragement you gave me. Thank you for being my friend. See, my love language is words of affirmation. So when I pour my guts out in church on Sunday, I'm hoping when I go home, my wife's going to say, that was wonderful. She just tells me the truth. Sometimes she gives me a chili dog and says, you know. I don't really like doing this, being vulnerable. You know, 6'4", crying, you know. I'm a man, Holly. Men don't like to, they don't, you know, they want to keep it all, but you know what it is? It's called community. I had a list, because I couldn't memorize all this, of things in the New Testament. Just a few things the New Testament says about this thing called community. It says, and there are scriptures for all this, but it says we ought to accept one another, carry each other's burdens, watch out for one another, encourage one another, confess your sins to each other, edify one another, forgive each other, offer hospitality to one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, love one another, be at peace with each other, pray for each other, serve one another, spur one another on to love and good deeds, submit to one another, and teach one another. That's just a few. That's all community. And I was reading about a Bible church, and they were talking about all that, and they said, now, what are we supposed to do? Should we? And they're like our church, where they have worship service, Sunday school, and then they do the thing on Wednesday night, and then they have sporadic things, you know, in various times. So they were like, okay, should we have another meeting? Do we need another organized meeting so that we can facilitate all those things? And the pastor, it was really cool. He said, no. He said, we don't need another organized meeting. He said, hopefully, as people are taught the Word of God, as they have their time with God personally, they'll want to go out and just do these things throughout the week to the other members of the body. They'll just want to love on people all week long. And sometimes they'll do it without even being told or asked. That's called community. I looked up the definition of community, and it said this. It's a relationship with people who have common interests, goals, and characteristics, piercing itself as distinct. It is a group of people leading a common life according to a rule. And our rule would be what? The Word of God. The things I just got through listing off. That's how we ought to act in this community. Jesus said this. He said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning for that to happen. You can do it all week long. Here's where it starts. And so I would suggest to you, if you haven't done so already, find your chair. Let's pray. So many other people, lots of people I could have gone to this morning, Father, and said something about their expression of love to you and through the body. But I think we got the message. Lord, you want to be our friend. You want to develop our friendship. Help us to do that. Help us to slow our lives down, our busy lives. Don't let us miss that. Don't let us go through this life missing time, carving time out for you each and every day. You do make a difference in our lives. Wow. You change us, transform us, make us different. And give us love. Replace our selfishness with love. Thank you. Help us now as we spend time with you for that to blend over into our walk, our practice, the body of Christ. Because we know the Bible says that we are to build up each other so that we can grow up in our faith. We all have a responsibility to do this together in community. Help us. Help our community. And as you're praying about your own life and the needs that you have in these areas that we spoke about, we also have a time of invitation. Maybe someone here today needs to come forward, to stand up and come forward And I'll pray with you. I'll help you. We'll help you. Maybe someone needs to ask Jesus to come into their life, or someone feels like, hey, this is where, you know, the Lord wants us to be, whatever it is. I'll be standing right here while we're praying. Just stand up. You come as the Lord leads.